locking in on what God has called us to and what that means to us personally with Him, with each other, with our children, with you, with our community. And we keep discovering one thing or another that's like, yep, this is why we fighting right here, because God working. This is exactly why we fighting. Look at this. The Lord is at work. And we keep getting these implications of something on the horizon that justifies a heightened attack against us, against you, against our community. And that's whether it's your health, whether it's your finances, whether it's just you kind of trying to stay focused and settled in who God called you to be. Because ultimately it's through this wholeness in Christ that we work wholly together, and Christ then manifests himself through that work. So it's no wonder that the enemy will work so hard to keep us distracted and off balance and too busy to engage each other, or too distracted to hear from him, because there's a lot at stake here in this community. There are families at stake. There are children at stake. I walked into a school this past week, and I walked up to a table. And there, it was a whole group of girls. It was nothing but girls. And when I walked up, they like joyfully telling me about this girl and how many boys she was in love with. And so I'm like, you know, I know kids enough to know they're trying to draw me into a messy conversation, right? So I'm like, but what is love? And they had no answer. I mean, I ain't never seen kids get so quiet so fast. Just a question. What is love? And you could just see them looking at each other like, do you know what love is? Like, what is love, right? And so they started trying to say what love is. And at the end of their struggle, they finally said, well, what is love? And I'm saying all of that to say that these are kids who are out there looking for love and don't even know what it is. And a lot of their parents don't know what love is. And this is why we have all these broken homes. And the body of Christ is the example, per Jesus' prayer, Father, make them one, so that the world will know that you have loved them and that you did send me. And so where they'll get the...
She said emotion.
Yeah, I know. The girl said it was an emotion. I'm like, it's an emotion? So yeah, Pam, thank you. I was trying not to go there, but y'all need to know. So the one girl was like, it's an emotion. And I mean, she was like, squared up with me. Like, you can't tell me any different. I said, do your emotions ever change? She was like, yeah. I said, so you get angry, you happy. I said, all your emotions can change. She's like, yeah. I said, does love ever change? She didn't want to answer it. The girl across from her said, no. I said, so if emotions change and love doesn't change, how can love be an emotion? So anyway, I'm saying all of that to say that the body of Christ in community is the clearest example to the world what love is. That's why we're talking about community, 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 community. Because it is the prayer of Jesus Christ that we be one. And we have already talked about community can be messy. It can be painful. It's hard. We got habits we need to change. We started talking about, the foundation to all of this is healthy routines. We have to get into the routines that are essential to our faith, right? Prayer and studying. We need to know the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures that have been preserved all these centuries. preserved for our edification, for shaping us and molding us and showing us how to live this Christian life. We need to get in the habit of sacrificial lifestyle. And one of the easiest ways of sacrificial lifestyle is fasting. As we embark on this war of highly demonic activity, lots of demonic oppression, if we're not ready to know the word, let the word be our guide. And as Dan has been so powerfully teaching us, learning how to listen for the Holy Spirit to guide us and teach us and empower us and remind us of the words that Jesus Christ told us, and to infuse that power in us and let us never forget that we have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We're walking onto a battlefield. When we're talking about community, we are saying, here we are. And we're coming at you. Not we're waiting for you. We're coming at you. We do know that the kingdom of God is on the offense, right? We live on our offense. We're coming after you. We're not waiting. We're not going to build it so they'll come. We're going to worship here and then go get them. So if we don't understand the importance of community, why it's so important and essential for us to fight through the messiness, to get to know each other, to learn how to love each other, to mature in our faith together, to allow the Lord to sculpt us as a unit ready to strike. We're missing it. It's just about Sunday. It's really not about, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. For kingdom power to be made known in the land of the living. So we have talked about being single and what that means for you as a single person. And I feel like I listen to these messages and I feel like, man, we're just grazing over this stuff. You know, this is stuff you really, I'm telling you, read Ephesians over and over and over and over again to understand your place in the kingdom, what you have, who you are, what that means to the world, what it means to the church, what it means to the kingdom of God, and what it means to the kingdom of darkness. Just keep reading it. It's a powerful, powerful book and a beautiful explanation of what the body means. It's a beautiful explanation. So here we are. We talked about couples last week, and that was good. I hope it was good for you. And I hope you learned something from that. Learned about how it's not easy being married, but it's powerful. My wife and I had to do some repenting, open repenting before you. I hope that was. I hope that didn't traumatize y'all to find out that your pastor and his wife mess up and we've done wrong. And that don't, y'all okay with that? Y'all do know we're not perfect. Okay, good. I'm a man. I'm really a man. I'm just a man. She's a woman. No S's under just nothing. It's just a long John shirt up under here, okay? It's, you know. So, this week, we have to go into this whole parent-child relationship. And I know if you're not a parent, just bear with me. You're gonna see how this all makes sense. I was one of the funniest things ever happened between me and one of my sons. I thought about it last night as I was unclogging our tub. So the tub had gotten to the point where by the time you get done with a shower, the water is like up to your shin. And so Pam was like, "Brother Aaron, I'm taking a shower in this, and I can't do it." So I go down and I unclog all of that. So while I'm doing it, I pop the pipe open because it was, you know, I poured it in the Drano, I poured in the stuff, and it's This is below the surface. This is deep down in the pipe somewhere. So I got to go down in the basement and I got to pop this thing open and I got to run a, you know, one of those, you know, pipe things down in there. And it's about 30. I'm down in it. I'm like, man, that's got to be about 15 feet I'm in there. And I'm pulling out, pull the hair out like this long. I'm like, now that's not my hair. It's pretty obvious. That's not my hair. Okay, so. And then it's this other stuff that looks like, it looked like Pamela. What did it look like? I said, it looked like octopus skin. I don't know what it was, but I know what it smelled like. And it made me think about me and my son were unclogging a sink in the bathroom, in the kitchen. And man, I must have popped something loose down in there, way down in there, and it was like, and it was black, gooey, nasty stuff. And it stunk so bad. And when I pulled the thing to pull the router out, it went in my mouth. And my son, being as inquisitive as he is, he said, you know what his question was, right? Dad, what it tastes like? I said, just like it smells, son. But I'm saying all of that to say that sometimes when it comes to parent and child relationship, it's not a Drano job. It's not something you can just pour something in at the top and wait 15 minutes and run hot water and you're done. It's deep. It's way below the surface. You got to take stuff apart and you got to get way down in there. You got to do some rooting out of some nasty, filthy, funky stuff that's been in there for years sometimes. And sometimes it don't even have nothing to do with you. Somebody else, this was somebody else's house. Not even your mess, but it's causing you a problem. So I want you to think about it in that context, because you're going to hear challenges. But at the same time that you hear challenges, I want you to first remember that everything about your parenting or your child being is not necessarily because of you. So I don't want you to hear this and start feeling guilty and like, oh, overwhelmed and like, oh my God, I'm messing up. No, you know what? This could be your great, 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 great grandmama. Learn behavior. You know, I know that some people like to call it generational curses. I'm like, no, you can't curse what God done blessed. He has delivered me from the power of the curse. Amen. He has delivered me from the power of Satan and translated me into his kingdom. And the Bible says that Christ is the end of the curse. He's the end of the law to them that believe. Right? So we bless people. So don't be running around talking about you got some curse going on in your family. If you in Christ, you ain't got no curse on you. But you could very well have something that's been hanging around for a long time, shaping you, that shaped you. But just remember, it could have shaped your mama and your grandmama and your dad. I'll tell you one brief story about that as a reality in my own life. No disrespect, no dishonor to my father. My dad was didn't father me. I'm just keep it real simple. So when I looked up, and after about a year and a half, close to 2 years of marriage, me and my wife separated. I told y'all that last week. When we were separated, I'm making this a real concise story. When we were separated, this was at a time where there were no cell phones. It was still the phone and the separate answering machine. So the phone rings and I could see that it's them. You know, it's her. She probably wants to fight. Y'all remember what I said we did a lot last week, right? What did I say we did? Fight and then... Right, so I left. So now I'm in this apartment by myself. Phone rings, answer machine comes on, and guess who it was? This little 1-year-old girl. And she said, Daddy, not like that, her voice wasn't that deep. She says, Daddy, I just want to know when you're coming home. And as I stood there and listened to that message, I was like literally standing up in the middle of my living room floor. I had no strength to pick up the phone. I had no words. I was at a complete loss. I didn't know what to do. She hangs up the phone, and I look around my apartment in my living room, and it's just, you know, just being honest, it's just trash. Just all the reflection of what's going on in my head. It's just trashed. And I stand over here, so the window's behind me. I stand over here, and the light is shining on my Bible. It's covered in dust. And I realized in that moment that I had become what I hated. I had become what I vowed not to be. Started on my healing process. And that was the day, that was the first day that I actually looked up to heaven and I said a very simple 3-word prayer. I said, "Lord, help me." And if I could, it would take me an hour to tell you what all was going through my mind when I said, "Lord, help me." Fast forward, I'm into my healing process now. I have repented. I have said, I realize that I'm angry and I'm bitter at my dad. And now I want to try to get things right. And I remember talking to this man, and he was like, "So what's going on with you?" So I started to give him my testimony. You know, God is healing me, and I'm getting better, man. I'm back with my wife. I'm raising my children, and we got 2 more kids now, and da-da-da-da-da. And so I started to, he's like, "You know, healing from what?" And I tell him about my dad. He said, "Oh yeah, I know your dad." And he's like, well, what's going on?" I said, "Well, you know, he didn't raise me, and he rejected me, and you know, he abandoned my mama, and you know, and all of this stuff, and it was, you know, real painful, but I'm getting through it." And he just looked back and he said, "That's the same thing his daddy did to him." And I said, "Whoa. So his daddy did it to him. He did it to me. And I had got to the point where I was going to do it to my kids." They call that a generational curse, but it's not. It's generational pain. And pain make you do strange things. So I'm saying all of that as a backdrop, that as you hear these things, children, you think you're mad at your mama today? Think you're mad at your daddy today? There, not there. Whatever it is, believe me, you need some healing. Because you can become what you hate. And us parents need to learn, how do we then help our children? Well, we're in Ephesians chapter 6. So there's this relationship, parent-child relationship that goes on, right? So I got to kind of deal with the children first, just as it's written. And children, as you hear these things, I want you to lock in to remember these scriptures are inspired by the Holy Spirit, right? So as we told the husbands and wives last week, as you hear these instructions, don't say, "Well, yeah, but you don't know him." You don't know my mama, Lord. You don't know my daddy, Lord. You don't know my situation. Don't go there. Listen to what God is saying to you, and I'm going to get to us when I'm done. Okay? It'll be fair. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is what? This is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be what? Well with you, and that you may live long on the earth." Now, children, I want you to listen to this, because down in the bottom, it tells us as parents that we should warn you that we should teach you and instruct you. But this is coming out of the scripture. He says, obey your parents, what? In the Lord. Now, here's what we are finding out about Christian children particularly. You got parents who are in the Lord. Are they perfect? No. They need just as much grace, if not more grace, than you need. They need mercy just like you need mercy. They need prayer just like you need prayer. They're learning just like you learning. They're doing their best just like you doing your best. But they in the Lord. So he didn't say, children, obey your parents no matter what. Obey your parents even if they are heathen calling you from jail, telling you to run drug deals. He said, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. You should, if your parents are Christian, no matter how far they are from getting everything right, if they telling you what's right, he said you should obey them. But here's the problem that we're fighting with. You children are fighting with. The world has given you 1,000 options. They're telling you that, well, this is the big one I hear. Well, I grew up Christian and it was forced on me. I ain't never heard nobody grow up and say, you know, when I was growing up, my mom made me drink water. I'm not drinking water anymore. My mom, she made me eat my vegetables. And so I don't eat vegetables. It was forced on me. I was forced to be healthy. My dad, he forced me to go to school. So I hate, I never hear that until we get to Christianity. Back in chapter 5, verse 6, he says, let no man deceive you with vain words. He said, for this is right. He says, honor your father and your mother. Okay, so that was a struggle for me because I'm like, how do I honor my dad? He wasn't there. How do you do that? Does anybody know? How do you honor a father that's not there? How do you honor a mother that abandoned you? How do you do that?
Speak well of them.
Speak well of them? What did you say, Brother Dan?
Yeah, my father's dead. Stuff he did when I was younger. I don't disrespect his name.
Don't disrespect his name. Don't do anything to bring him down, right? Yep.
3 years, well, 3 years.
Yep. Have compassion. How about, this is very simple right here. Very simple. How about just place value on them? You know what? Regardless of what my daddy was, regardless of what my mama was, she could have avoided me. But she carried me. And maybe she set me on somebody's doorstep. But she didn't throw me in the dumpster. I'm just saying, man. It's a way to find value for your mom and your dad. And you can honor that. Amen.
Yes.
Honor your father and your mother. He says, why? He said, this is the first commandment with promise. Children, if your parents are in the Lord, you should obey them. That your days may be well with you. If so many kids feel like their days are going to be well because they're going to go to the right college or they're going to get the right job or the right girlfriend or right boyfriend. They think it's going to be well when they get to this. But all you got to do is listen to all of the people just a few years older than you. Look at that, how many of them said the same thing when they were in high school or in junior high, just walking around. And I'm not saying that, you know, working a menial job, but when you look, you say, you listen to them, you got a job, you maybe they got a car, but they still trying to find something better. You know, the path to your best life is the word of God. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that what? Proceeds out of the mouth of God. And one of the things he says by inspiration is obey. your parents in the Lord. Okay, so let's get to this. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them up in, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oh Lord, we got to camp here a little while. He says, fathers, don't provoke your children. He said, but bring them up. Here's that same word. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Which means, as a father, I got to be in it. But think about this. Can you be a teacher and a nurse? Can you professionally hold down something like you're a teacher all day, but you're trying to tell somebody how to nurse? Or your profession is a teacher, but you want to teach somebody how to drive a truck. Does that make sense? If you're not doing it, how can you properly bring somebody up in something that you're not in? It's like children trying to tell parents how to be parents. It's like somebody who has never had their own place trying to tell you how to get one. It's like single people trying to tell married people how to be married after 30 years. Marriage Inc. got that right. They were like, look, if you haven't been married at least 7 years, you can't mentor anybody. You can't. Not for us. So he says, nurture them, bring them up in the nurture. So that means first, I got to be being nurtured. This word nurture, this is what it means. It says the whole training and education of children, which relates to the cultivation of mind and morals and employees for the purpose, now commands and admonitions, reproof, punishment. It also includes the training and care of the body. So fathers, he says that we have to bring them up in something that we're in. If you're not in it, how can you do it? Doesn't the Bible say train up a child what? In the way he should go, which means you should be in it. It's not to just send your kids to Sunday school. That's what we have this big thing going on. Just send them to Sunday school. He said, no, that's not the way you do it. You go to church with them. You go and sit down and listen to the same word they're listening to. He says, when you walk along the way, you talk about the word with them. When you sit down and eat, you talk about the word with them. When you traveling, talk about the word early in the morning, late at night. This is something we all need to be doing together. Raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This admonition says, here's one. It says, instruction which aims at increasing virtue. So this is, we're sitting down and we're teaching our children. I'm going to tell you some of the mistakes that you can make in teaching your children. You teach your children based on your own preferences, your own fears. It's not to increase their life and their virtue as they follow God. It's to increase or decrease your chances of being hurt by a disobedient child. So you know what that's going to brew in you? It's going to brew fear. Because your heart is going to tell you that you really can't accomplish this job. And you really don't know what you're doing. It's the truth, man. To admonish includes discipline. It includes teaching. It includes instruction. It includes rebuke. Now let's just talk about discipline for a little bit. Now, when it comes to discipline and disciplining our children, fathers, I'll tell you, this is a rough one. The hardest part about disciplining our children as fathers is we never want to act hastily. And I'm saying, generally speaking, we observe, we analyze, and then we draw an intellectual conclusion before we move. But the Bible tells us that foolishness is what? Bound in the heart of a child. And it says because judgment doesn't come swiftly, what happens? It says they just grow. It says the heart of man just grows in foolishness. I've been questioned about spanking. And I'm going to tell you like this. While the world is saying don't spank your kids, don't think twice about them tasering them. They're not going to think twice about beating them. Same people that advocate you don't spank your child, they'll be the same one to billy club them half to death. I'm telling you, we see it. The video's out. Just look on Facebook. They got cops in the classroom slamming them down to the ground. What are they doing? They manhandling them. Why? Because nobody else did. Now that being said, one of the problems I know in the African American community, my brothers and sisters in this skin, one problem we have is we go back to our slave mentality when it comes to spanking. You know, you get hit with a boot, kicked in the stomach, or threw down the steps, and all of this other crazy stuff. Yeah, I beat them till both my arms got tired, and then I told my brother to take it from there. No, that's abuse. That's not discipline. That's crazy. And that comes from dysfunction. So, Brother Aaron, what are you saying about spanking? I'm saying, better get them now before they get you. You get them young enough, you probably won't have to do it much at all over the course of their life. I know, Micaiah, you don't mind if I put you on the spot right now, do you? All right, so thank you. This is my sweetie pie right here. Micaiah, I got Micaiah real young. All right. So I'm going to just tell y'all the story, okay? Can I tell her? Thank you. She's so open. So Micaiah breastfed. So she latched on and she never wanted to let go. I think she, you was 8 before you stopped breastfeeding? No, she wasn't. I'm joking. But she was holding on for a long time, boy. She did not want to get. So anyway, me and Pam laying in the bed one time. So Pam was breastfeeding. And so Pam was having a problem because Micaiah kept biting her. So she'd get all she want and then, like, I'm going to stamp it before I go. So she kept biting her. And so Pam was so, she would be so upset, but she would feel like, you know, what do I do about this? You know, what do I do? She's so young, but she bite me. She know I'm mad about it. And, you know, she just kind of rolls over like, see you on the next bite. So one time we laying up in the bed and I heard it. She bit her. And she turned over and looked at me like, I know that hurt. And so I, with the most aggressive look in my eyes, I grabbed her hand and I did like this. No. Just like that. Just a tap. Just to show aggression and disapproval. She cried. You would have thought I burned her with an iron. And I'm talking about, I probably couldn't even fold her a piece of paper as light as I touched her. And that's what I'm saying. We hear spank and it's got to be pain. I mean, as they get older, it might include some pain. But it is to establish boundaries. You do not do that. Guess what? She never bit her again. Just barely touched her. But it was just that show of disapproval and to let her know, I will touch you in a way that you don't like. Okay? So as they got older, I'm going to just give y'all some things when it comes to discipline while we on this topic. One thing that me and my wife had to get to was like, look, you can't spank kids for everything. And you can't spank kids just because you're mad and fed up. You know, if you're mad and fed up, you're not disciplining your child. That's what the problem is. You're not taking the time to do what you know you need to do to keep them from doing things. Or you haven't learned to accept certain things as just a part of childhood. Sometimes it's just, look, that's a child. Why are you getting upset? That's what they do. So what me and my wife did is we said, listen, we're gonna have to establish the reasons we spank. And outside of that, we don't spank, period. Now, me and my wife spanked for three things and three things only. One of them I just told you, intentionally doing harm to somebody. That was one. If you're intentionally hurting somebody, you're getting spanking. If you lie, you're getting a spanking. And if you, I mean, like directly and defiantly disrespect and disobey one of your parents, you get a spank. So we got those from the seven abominations. You know, a proud look is abomination to the Lord. Lying is an abomination to the Lord. Doing harm to somebody, doing something wrong to somebody, that's an abomination. So I said, you know, that's seven, I think. Doing three, it's going to be. And for lying, it was like, every time you lie, you're getting a spanking. So it's guaranteed. If you lie, is that right? Is that right? If you lie, you're getting a spanking, period. And that's, once they knew what a lie was and that it was wrong, and we established, I don't care what, if you lie, I'm going to spank you. If you tell the truth, I'm not. That's a real easy deal, right? You wouldn't believe they would lie. Scared. I'm like, the only thing you really need to be scared of is lying. Because you lie, I'm going to spank you. And so I would say out of all my children, I think probably between Zach and Tamar got it the fastest. Like, nah, we ain't doing whoopings. We're telling the truth. Micaiah, being as open as she is, she held out a little longer. And she didn't think I knew her. Like, I could just look in her eyes and I'd be like, you lying. And she'd just start crying, like, yeah. I don't want to get slanked. Like, yo. But eventually, I mean, by the time they was 4 or 5 years old, they never tell lies no more. What happened? They tell the truth. All right, is that too much information? Yes or no? All right. So, in the home, in the home, here's what I believe are some essentials as fathers. And I know this is really just talking about fathers, right? And for a father, if your father's like, wait a minute. Now, he didn't talk about the husbands, love your wives, and the wives submit to your husband. We get the parent and she don't have no nothing. What is that? Why is that? Right? We don't talk about that. In a home. These are things that you can go back, listen to this online, or take note right now and develop your own. I'm not saying this is the answer. I'm just sharing with y'all, hey, out of the seven abominations, we chose three that we believe God wanted us to use for our house. Y'all might use all seven, or you might use one, or you may choose something totally different. But you gotta establish something, okay? can't spank your kids just because you're mad. You can't spank them for everything. And you can't use that spanking that people, is like you hurting your kids. Like that's not right. That's not right. Okay? It don't take as much as you think either. Like I think and I'm sorry to go back to this, but I think when our children got up a little bit, it would be a pencil and it would be a tap on the hand. Like just a little tap on the hand. Believe it or not, it didn't have to hurt. It was just my mom or my dad is disapproving of what I'm doing and I'm hurt. I'm hurt by that. And they would cry. All right, so God will lead you in that. But just remember, if you don't, the police will. I'm just telling you. Essentials for home. And this is just some stuff I'm saying. As fathers, these are the things we should establish in our home. A growing household. Our home should be a home that is growing educationally, growing in our personal disciplines, and growing in our knowledge of the word. That's the kind of culture our home should be. A growing home. We should be learning. We should be constantly being humble in our disciplines. I'm going to tell you a story that I love to hear about a father and a mother who were hippies. They were hippies. They had parties in their houses. And they had their kids growing up in that. So you could walk into their house, it would be people everywhere, weed smoking, acid, I mean, all kind of crazy stuff, and their kids were right there in it. They came to the saving faith of Jesus Christ, and people thought for sure that they were going to ruin their kids. And guess what they said was the reason that all five of their kids grew up, are all in ministry, serving the Lord. Ain't nothing wrong with none of them. They said because they always shared their growing experience with God. They were humble enough to say, we have made mistakes. I'm sorry. I'm wrong. I don't know what I'm doing. I need to pray. Will you pray for me? It was an experience that they shared with the family. It wasn't a top down, I'm the spiritual head of this house. And you kids don't know nothing. It was God is the spiritual head of this house, and I don't know what I'm doing, and I need help. And he said that from their kids meant the most to them, to know that their parents were fragile, they needed help, they were praying, and they didn't think they knew everything. Okay? So a growing household, a serving household. Listen, tensions build up between husbands and wives, children, parents, siblings amongst each other. We can get to the point where it's like, I ain't getting that cup. I'm tired of her leaving that cup right there. Well, we don't serve each other. We'll stop doing simple things like, can I get you a glass of water? Would you like something to drink? Do you want some more? Let me take your plate, add some more to you. I'm going into the kitchen. Do you need anything? I'm stopping at the store. Do you have everything you need? We can get to the place where even our brothers and sisters, that's your mess. We should have a serving household. Amen. I'm practicing this now, so I had to start doing this, so I don't just talk like, you know, I've been doing it, but it's like, I'm serious, man. Like, just going in the kitchen and just put all the dishes in the sink. Don't complain. Who put the... Just help, you know. Stop looking for the bad guy all the time and help out. Amen. It's not to say that we negate people's responsibility, but we do need to serve each other. A gracious household. Need I say how much we all need grace? Man, I need some grace. I explain to my children, and they all will tell you, you can ask them how many things I've done wrong and how I get afraid sometimes and how I'm struggling and I'm working through stuff and I just have to lay it out there and I need grace. And I also give them grace as well. A reverent household. Sometimes as parents, as fathers, we want to lay down the law and be revered instead of be reverent. Like, hey, listen, this is not coming from me. This is coming from God. And this is something we all have to adhere to, is the word of God. All right. I remember the Lord corrected me. I was doing something so, and it really, he was showing me, this is how vain y'all can be. I loved to get gifts for my kids when they were real little. I would always bring them something. And so I would bring them something, and Pam, she'd be like, how much money are you spending on this? Because you bring these kids something every day. You know, so that, I mean, they'd be jumping up and down, no, daddy got something for me. And I would always take the glory for that. But when they were getting disciplined, guess who I would tell them it was because of? The Lord. I would never tell them that the Lord put it on my heart to bring them a gift, but I would tell them that the Lord put it on my heart to put you on punishment. I know that ain't funny, but it's like, that's how fickle we can be, and we don't understand what our true intentions are. And I had to switch that around and say, you know, I'm disciplining you so you don't end up messed up, but I'm doing this for you because the Lord put it on my heart. I want their image of God to be loving and gracious. All right? And I want us to reverence him. Engaging. Let's be an engaging household. We should have a household of serving. Inviting people into our homes. Not afraid of the world. Engage the world. I ain't scared of them. I'm not trying to protect you from what's out there. I used to literally take my children when they were really young, when we lived in Atlanta. I would literally take them to the ghetto. I would take them to hard places in the community, and I would say, this is how life can end up. And I would take them to places we would serve people, engaging. And I would teach them how to be humble and not walk away from people feeling like, yeah, we're the good guys. It's like, no, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd be right there too. So don't get it twisted. Don't walk away here from here feeling like you're a superhero. Amen. All right, and so those are the essentials that we want to establish in our home. And I know this is a lot of information, but I really feel like it's important, and it'll be helpful if you go back and just read it all or think about it all. Toxic. Dads. And we can be so toxic if we don't watch it, because we can make our authority toxic. We can make our words toxic. And guess what else we can make toxic? We can make God toxic. And I'm not talking about the God of heaven. I'm talking about the God we've sculpted in our minds to bring us glory. And that's by being critical. Being so critical that nobody in the house can hold their head up around you. Don't even feel, I mean, you know, you always, they know they're going to hear something they're doing wrong around you. I often say, when you got kids that don't never want to get out of the bed, you might want to think about what they're getting up to. If they're not a morning person, maybe they're being criticized as soon as their feet hit the floor. You know you left the gate open last night. Your bowl in there on the table. Wait, get up, wake up, wipe. Get, you don't even wash your face. Just go get that bowl. I wouldn't want to get out of the bed either. Oh, y'all got quiet. Y'all doing it, ain't y'all? Lord, we repent. Just say, Lord, I repent. That's all you got to do. He's gracious and merciful. Some of y'all got treated like that and still don't want to get out of bed. Can't figure out why you're not a morning person. All right, I'm going to leave that alone. Let you pray over that one. Loud and harsh make a household toxic. Bible says a soft answer does what? Turns away wrath. How many angry people in the world right now? And they just getting louder and more harsh and more critical. The soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stirs up strife. And we're not going to talk about that. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Be kindly affection one toward another. Yeah, but I'm sick of him though, brother. All right. Just remember that that'll make your house toxic. Legalistic. Well, what is legalistic? And I'm not even talking about biblically. I'm just saying whatever you say becomes a law. Your ideals, your feelings, whatever you think, that becomes the law. And if it doesn't go that way, there'll be judgment. There'll be a penalty. What if we say, you know what, let's find out where God's heart is on this issue. And we let that become the leading factor of the laws. And I'm saying, quote unquote, laws of our household. These some good things to pray about, I think. Wouldn't y'all think? I hope so. Complicated. Complicated. When things are just too complicated, your house is going to become toxic. When the rules are just changing every other day. You don't never know what you got to do or when you got to do it. Everything is unclear and toxic. Overprotective. Parents, fathers, we cannot lead from fear. We can't raise our children in fear. Inappropriate use of the word. I gave you an example of that with myself. Inappropriate use of the word and inappropriate use of the name of the Lord. Every time we, you know, got this thing, you know, God don't, you know, I'm telling you, watch that. Watch using God in the house. Be sure, be clear about what your intentions are when you use his name. Amen. Be clear about your intentions. Why would you put God's name in it? Is it to just get them to do what you want them to do? Or do you want glory from him in their life? Is that the reason you're doing it? Be very careful about using the name of the Lord. Amen. It's very important that we don't make our house toxic by always throwing God's name out there and we're really not even clear on why we even gonna say his name. So some of this stuff you've heard, and you may say, well, Brother Aaron, what about the sisters? Well, women, wives, mothers, what has God already said to you? Submit to your own husbands. So your role as a mom is to help him as he nurtures. Help him as he grows up and provides a growing household. Is to identify the things that God has called him to do and his responsibilities and to help him do that for the good of you and your children. You can look in the word and see what your husband is called to. Men, raise your hand if you feel like it's easy. No hands. Not mine either. How many brothers, how many you feel like you know without a doubt you need some help? We need some help. So there you go, mothers, wives, we need you. That's your responsibility. And as you have heard these things, as we're walking out the door, here's what I want you to think about. Some of y'all heard things today that you know you need to heal from. Some of you have identified things in your house, in your life, in your heart, in your mind, and you're like, man, where did that come from? Some of you need to forgive your parents. It's real, man. There's no way that you're going to be able to have the life that you want to have. And this goes even back to the children. Children, honor your father and mother. Well, you can't honor somebody that you hate. You can't honor someone that you're bitter against. And guess what? It's not going to be well with you. Parents, if we're not healed and growing and learning, we will destroy our children. We don't have enough time for me to tell you all the things we wish we hadn't have done. So, I think what we should do in this light, and I'm not saying you need to do this now, but at some point, under the leading of the Spirit, I want all of us, if you haven't, to do what the Bible says do. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be what?
Healed.
So, I'm challenging you today, children. Search your heart. Are you angry? Your mom? Your dad? Every one of us in here are children. And, you know, it's a whole nother thing if you can't get to your mom or she passed away or whatever, or you can't get to your dad or whatever. But guess what? God is able. God is able to get you to a place of healing. It is a thorn in the side of the body of Christ when his people are not healed and they become instruments of pain to other people, especially in your own household. That is not what God wants us to do. God wants to set us up so that we are not only nurtured by him, but we're nurturing the people in our household. And that for you children, that you are setting yourself up for a healthy household. It is the perfect plan to listen what God is saying. He wrote this stuff so that you don't have to go through a whole lot of unnecessary pain. God does not want you to just feel your way through life blindly. And just, you know, when you get burnt, then you pray. No, he wants you to avoid the pain.